dance. You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And you just heard the classics there with Aces High, the classics from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with the Briefs from Seattle, Washington, 90210. Now, interestingly enough about the Briefs being from Seattle, the band we played off the top of the show, the Classics from Vancouver, did the song, as I mentioned, Aces High. Well, that was a 1960s tune by the Classics. There also was a band from Seattle called the Dynamics who had a song called Aces Up. And the lead singer of the Dynamics, they were kind of instrumental combo, or the guy that sung with the Dynamics, Jimmy Hanna, had a song called Biffy Body. So we're going to play a little bit of that bolo release right now on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show in honor of the Briefs, who hopefully will be phoning in to the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, touch wood, I'd say around 4 o'clock. So right now from Seattle, Washington, it's Jimmy Hanna. And the Dynamics, actually just Jimmy Hanna with Busy Body. And then the Briefs and maybe some more Seattle rock. Well, not the Briefs till 4.
Busy Body one time, y'all. Hey, 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 hey. Put your hands on your hips. been started. When you see us coming, baby, and wondering too, I'm gonna busy about it, baby. The light's here on my shoes. Put your hands in the air, and then you shake them here and there. And then you busy about it, baby, 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 baby. Don't you be in the bed.
do something stupid? It's not your fault. You're out of control. Drink up and smile. It is not your fault. You're simply out of control. It's okay.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show as we wait for Steve E. Nix of the Briefs, who are actually playing tonight at Pub 340 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, with Raised by Wolves and the Riff Randalls. That's at Pub 340 tonight. And Steve E. Nix of the Briefs will be phoning into the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show shortly. So to warm everybody up for the Briefs, I thought I would play a bit of Seattle music. And you just heard Mr. Epp from Seattle, Washington, with Out of Control, featuring Mark Arm on vocals, who then, after Mr. Epp, went on to Green River, Mudhoney, and now singing for the MC5. And before that, you heard the Puds, Take Me to Your Leader, featuring Rob Morgan, who now plays in the Squirrels and also puts out Poplust Fanzine. He also is the one that first hepped me to Egg Studios in Seattle, Washington, run by Conrad Uno, where the Young Fresh Fellows and where Mudhoney recorded. Actually, an interesting story about that place. I heard that Mudhoney got $10,000, which actually isn't that much nowadays, but they got $10,000 to record for the Singles soundtrack. Remember coming out of Seattle in the mid-90s there, that Cameron Crowe production. They got $10,000 to do a song for the Singles soundtrack, and they spent $123 at Egg Studios in Seattle, Washington to record Overblown and pocketed the rest of the cash. That's what you should do when you're on a major label. Pocket the cash as much as you can. And that was Mr. Epp that we just heard with Out of Control. Before that, again, we heard the Puds with Take Me to Your Leader. And to begin that set, we played the Dynamics, basically Jimmy Hanna doing Bizabada's Gonna One Time Y'all. And we began the Nardwuar Human Serviette, and they're from Seattle, Washington, on the Bolo record label from the 1960s. And we began the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show with the Classics from Vancouver doing Aces High, not to be confused by Aces Up by the Dynamics, who are from Seattle, Washington. With all this talk of Seattle, one thinks of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And of course, the Briefs are coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada tonight to Pub 340. So to warm you up in a Canadian way, I thought I would play a Canadian connected record. The Archies with Going Through Changes, co-written by Canadian Rock Me Gently Bare Naked Ladies fan Andy Kim. And after that, I might follow it up with some vintage Canadian punk rock, The Presence, and then maybe Stevie Nicks of the Briefs will be phoning into the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show, and I'll be able to ask him a bit about this record that I found, MAQA, on Subcore Records from Seattle, Washington. It's a hardcore record from about 1986 with the amazing track Cats Are Neat. But here are the Archies on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, going through changes, which makes me think of Zampano, who were on Sub Pop Records out of Seattle, Washington. Zampano, of course, who morphed into A.C. Newman et al. And their album, Going Through Changes, or having the word changes in there, and it almost actually sounds a bit like Carl of the New Pornographers singing, but it was co-written by Andy Kim, so what do you expect?
she's putting me through changes. Good, good changes. She's putting me through changes. Good, good changes.
There's no change in her
now. Wow, I feel like there's no change in her now. She turns around and tells me running ain't exactly the best way to be sure. She says, stop a while, stay with me, look at my mind, forget your troubles, we'll leave them behind. She's putting me through changes, good, good changes. She's putting me through changes. Good, good changes.
There's no change in her now.
Wow, I feel like there's no change in her.
Here in the flashing, nothing dark night, behind the humming metal plate. Busy communing with the concrete on the cold floor, buzzing with the lights. Here in the concrete, metal revolution. I am thinking of my visual, driven up, input, output, clicking every piece. Fine wave flickering, down the table, racing past my face. I am feeling loose in my computer. I want to make the perfect curve oscillate. Here in the concrete, metal revolution. I am sitting in my visual, filling out input, output, clicking at the keys. See the wild drive of symphony, caterpillar clicking at my heels. Can you see the mounds of earth moving in, coming down like a slap across the face. Here in the concrete, metal revolution. I am sitting in my visual, filling out input, output, clicking at the keys.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And that was The Presence from Edmonton, Alberta, 1981, with their song Concrete Revolution. And before that, The Farts from Seattle, Washington. Had to play The Farts. Anytime you think about Seattle, you got to think about The Farts. And that was from the Seattle Syndrome compilation, a 46-second song called Complete Speedo. I just want to say the word Speedo. That's not even the title, but I just want to say the word Speedo, because when I think of The Farts, I think of Speedos, because, of course, Duff played in the Farts, and of course now he's involved with this whole Velvet Revolver thing. But he also played in the Fastbacks as well, who we didn't get a chance to actually play here, well, up to this point on an Artwater Human Serviette radio show, priming you for an interview with Steve E. Nix from The Briefs, from Seattle, Washington, who will be playing tonight at Pub 340 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, with the Riff Randalls and Raised by Wolves. And before the Farts, the Canadian Archies, well, kind of a co-written song by a Canadian, Andy Kim, helping out with the Archie song, going through Changes. Now, the Briefs have this thing where they really hate Bob Seger. I used to hate Bob Seger, too, but then I got hip to some of his early 60s stuff, a lot of which has been reissued on this Norton compilation, Boss Detroit Garage. On this particular track, Get Down on Your Knees, Bob Seger is playing. It's an amazing slice of mid-60s punk rock. So I thought I'd play a bit of the Underdogs with Get Down on Your Knees featuring Bob Seger. And then I thought maybe I'd follow it up with The Briefs putting down Bob Seger, wanting to kill Bob Seger with Silver Bullet. Like, why do they want to kill Bob Seger now? Well, I guess I know why, because I didn't like him. Then I got to tell The Briefs about this Boss Detroit Garage Friday at the Hideout. So here's Bob Seger from the mid-60s, say like 1965, 64, from the Hideout in Detroit, a club in Detroit, with Get Down on Your Knees, followed up by The Briefs, and then hopefully after that, Steve E. Nix from the rock and roll band The Briefs from Seattle, Washington, who hates Bob Seger, phoning in live to the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Breaks and make it to a
and you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have on the line right now? Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. You have one Stevie Nicks on the phone.
Now, who are you, Stevie Nicks? Could you please explain?
Okay, I play guitar in a group called The Brief, and I also sing, as do all the members of The Brief. And I'm currently heading towards Vancouver right now to do a show tonight.
At Pub 340 with the Riff Randalls and Raised by Wolves.
Yes, exactly.
Stevie Nicks of The Briefs. And Stevie Nicks, I have to ask you, before I played Silver Bullet, I played the song Get Down on Your Knees by The Underdogs, an early Bob Seger project. What do you think about early Bob Seger work? You know, his mid-60s stuff, because that was a pretty kicking tune. That was almost garage punk, his version of Get Down on Your Knees from his band The Underdogs in the 1960s. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you. I think some of the early Bob stuff with The Underdog and all that, it can be pretty cool. You know, there's a couple of Silver Bullet Band songs that maybe aren't too bad. I really enjoy being the Hot Rods version of Get Out of Denver. But, you know, we're kind of against Bob for other reasons besides just his music.
Because you have Kill Bob Seger, of course, which makes me think about Mojo Nixon. Because remember, he had that song, Don Henley.
I do remember that one.
Don Henley Must Die.
Right.
And what happened with that, I don't know if you remember, Don Henley, in the end, ended up joining Mojo Nixon on stage to sing that song.
Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yes, they made up, like in 1992 or something like that.
They made up?
Yes. So what I'm wondering about is, what has the reaction been to Kill Bob Seger? You've played it in Detroit, and do you think that Bob Seger may one day join you on stage and sing that song?
You know, I wouldn't dismiss that. You know, that could happen. I wouldn't say that I'm looking forward to meeting Bob Seger, and when we played that song in Detroit, there was a couple of angry folks who, like, worked at the club. I had a few things to say to us about that song, but I think people can dismiss it as just not too serious of a tune, you know?
Do any people that hear that song, Stevie Nicks of The Briefs, playing tonight at Pub 340, do any people that hear that think that it's not long enough? Like, it's so short. Like, I could see people complaining in Detroit. Like, they're singing a song about killing Bob Seger, but by the time they've complained, the song's over, so they can't really tell anybody.
It's brief.
It is very brief, isn't it? Like,
yes.
Do you get many requests for that? Like, in Detroit, like, play that one again so we can hear how you're slagging Bob. Like, I would think that maybe the reaction would be good there. People would want to hear it again because it's so short.
I don't know. I think a lot of the kids in Detroit are kind of out of touch with their heritage, you know, as far as Bob Seger and all that goes. But, I mean, across the U.S., we get kids showing up with, like, Bob Seger records, and they'll throw them on stage and, like, draw devil faces on them, and it's kind of a fun thing.
Stevie Nicks of The Briefs, before Bob Seger, I played The Farts. Do you have any connection to The Farts out of Seattle, Washington? I was warming people up for you guys. I played some Farts, I played some Mr. Epp, some Puds as well, and some Vintage Dynamics. Do any of those bands pique your interest at all, Stevie Nicks?
Would that be taking to your leader?
Yes, exactly. What can
great
you,
song.
Yeah, what can you tell the people about the Puds? I said led by Rob Morgan, who's now in the Squirrels Pop Lust fanzine. He hipped me to Egg Studios, where you guys recorded. What about the Puds? Like, they're a pretty cool band, aren't they?
All I know about the Puds is that song. I actually grew up in Tacoma, which is a little south of Seattle, so when they were playing, I was probably pretty young, and I wasn't in the same town.
How about the Farts? Did you ever see the
Farts, on the other hand, when we played Blaine, of course, when I had to sing for The Accused, who I saw probably once a week when I was in high school going to shows. They played more than any other band out of Seattle, I think.
And that featured, was Duff in the band at that time? Or was that The Accused when Duff was? Duff was not in The Accused, but with the Farts, did they reform? Haven't they reformed or something with, like, weren't they called, like, Reform with some Murder City Devils or something like that?
Oh, I remember that. That was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't think that anything really came of it. I think that they got together and practiced a few times.
So, Stevie Nicks, you're heading towards Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and you're Stevie Nicks of the Briefs playing tonight at Pub 340. There's quite a bit of Canada in the Briefs now, isn't there? Can you explain, who is Stevie Kicks? You're Stevie Nicks, but who is Stevie Kicks?
Well, actually, he's just Kicks now. We just call him Kicks. We can call him Kicks, he responds. And, yeah, a quarter of the band is indeed Canadian. Kicks has been touring with us for the last year, and we've recently made him an official member, so he's going to be playing on the next record. We're writing these songs together, and we love the hell out of the guy, you know, as I'm sure most of Vancouver does.
Well, has he been causing any problems for the Briefs? Because I understand he got lost in Paris or something like that. Like, the Briefs are all carrying along their normal business, and the Canadian, the new guy, Stevie Kicks, gets lost and almost ruins it.
We were at the police station, like, getting ready to, you know, like, check out the hospitals and the police stations, etc. That was in Marseille. And, he just, like, calls him wandering up. He goes wandering about sometimes, and we have a hard time keeping track of him. But he's well worth the trouble he causes.
So it wasn't too big a scene in Paris? Because that sounds like it's a pretty big scene getting lost in Paris, Stevie Nicks of the Briefs.
No, it was Marseille. In Paris, it would have been a bigger deal.
And, of course, it'll be a big deal tonight when Stevie Kicks returns to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, playing bass in his brand-new American Pals band, The Briefs. And you are Stevie Nicks, though. And there's some other Canadian contents with The Briefs as well. The Real Mackenzies. Like, you toured with those guys, Canucks. You toured with them lots, didn't you?
We've toured the entire United States with them, and we've toured a lot of Europe with them as well, yeah.
And another Canadian connection, you're on the Better Youth Organization.
That is another Canadian connection, yeah.
Because is it not true that the Stern brothers started that and they are kind of Canadian, I think?
They're Canadian citizens, they are not United States citizens. So we work with and for Canadians in a sense.
Exactly, and also BYO, we're home to SNFU.
Yeah, and the second compilation we put out, Something to Believe In, featured at least half Canadian bands.
The Canadian...
quite a few others.
And you guys also played with a band called The Skulls. Now, the reason I mention The Skulls is because DOA were at first called The Skulls and had to change their name, but The Skulls from L.A. were never really Canadian, but still kind of a Canadian connection there, and the DOA were once called The Skulls. What were The Skulls like, or what are The Skulls like nowadays? Because you guys have played with them.
They're actually really cool. The only original member is the lead singer, Billy Bones, and, the interesting thing about The Skulls is they span four generations in their members. Their members are at least 10 years apart in age. They've got a kid on guitar, like somebody slightly older in drums, somebody slightly older in bass, and then Billy's the oldest. And they're very, very good. Anybody who saw them was pretty surprised at how great they were.
And they're like a 77-era punk rock band around the same time that DOA started, right? Like 77 punk rock, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're one of the first out of L.A. playing at the Mask and all the early clubs.
Stevie Nicks of The Briefs. Looking at BYO's roster, I see the name The Unseen. What can you tell me about The Unseen? I've seen that name before. I don't know much about them. I've only seen that name on Good Charlotte Guitars, so that's kind of scared me. What are The Unseen like?
I don't know The Unseen very well, but they're very hardcore, I guess what people call street punk these days. Hardcore punk rock with pretty obnoxious yelling vocals, and live they're great. Really pretty fun band to watch. All the kids with mohawks and fitted jackets come out to The Unseen for sure.
Isn't there some good Charlotte connection going on there, Stevie Nicks? Isn't there some good Charlotte connection, The Unseen and Good Charlotte? Have you been getting...
I have no idea. I really don't.
I just wonder, like, when you play a gig, you know, it used to be you're on Sub Pop. A lot of Sub Pop fans come out. So you play a BYO gig. Do a lot of BYO gigs fans come out? And do any fans come out because maybe they saw Unseen stickers on Good Charlotte guitars, so you get Good Charlotte fans? Can you tell us if you've got any Good Charlotte fans? Will there be any Good Charlotte fans there tonight at Pub 340?
I hope so, kind of. I mean, the thing about Good Charlotte fans is I think it's hard to detect them because they kind of go in disguise. they show up trying to look a little tougher than they actually are.
Stevie Nicks of The Briefs, I'm a bit upset with your website. When I visited your website a few years ago, there were 8-track cartridges on your website. Like, the graphics, there were like 8-tracks. Now they're gone. What happened? Why are you abandoning the 8-track?
Very simply, it was just a different person designing the website. The old person couldn't keep up with the changing times or something. I don't know.
Because to me, 8-tracks are the punkest thing there is out there. And a lot of punk has been released on 8-track. Like, I personally have the Sex Pistols. I know the Dead Boys were on 8-track. Do you have any punk 8-tracks at all, Stevie Nicks of The Briefs?
No, but Daniel J. Travanti, the other guitar player in The Briefs, does. He has a collection. I think Fire released tons of stuff on 8-track, like The Saints and Richard Hell and the Voidoids and the...
I think DMZ...
What?
DMZ, I think, ended up on 8-track, perhaps, maybe.
Did they?
Because they were on Sire, too. And I guess I was thinking about collectible rarities. What are some of the rarer Briefs items? Because for a little while there, you were on Interscope Records. And I was thinking, you were on Interscope Records for a couple months. The Sex Pistols were on A&M for a couple months. The rarest Sex Pistols releases are the A&M Sex Pistols releases. How rare are the Briefs Interscope releases, and how many were there?
There were no actual releases, but there was a CD sampler of like 3 of our songs, but different versions, and it was kind of a freebie thing. Nothing ever got officially released within itself.
But that would make it even more rare. That would make it super rare, wouldn't it?
I don't think CDs are rare anyways.
They are. CDs are totally rare.
If you have some dude, I mean, there's maybe a couple thousand of these things made.
I
don't see them as being rare. Every once in a while on eBay, our early singles pop up, and those books for quite a bit of money at times, and like the first pressings of our first records, but CDs, I don't know.
Well, I'm just still thinking, you know, a rare release on Interscope, just because it's on Interscope, you know, kind of a weird major label, like the Sex Pistols were on A&M for a little while before they were on Virgin, and, you know, that's the rarest Sex Pistol collectible, the A&M one, so I thought maybe the Briefs on Interscope CD could be the rarest Briefs actual release.
Right, but it's not an actual release, it was just some, like, free crap that they give away at, you know, like...
I know, but you call it crap. That could be another person's treasure. You got to hold on to those Stevie Nicks. That's going to pay for your retirement. I know it will. I know it will.
Well, I've got 5 or 6 of them in a shoebox.
Oh!
Sure.
Oh!
I'm planning ahead.
Oh, wow. That is exciting. How about the Rough Trade 7-inch? You guys also had a 7-inch on Rough Trade. Is that pretty scarce?
That one's pretty scarce, yeah. They didn't make very many of that one.
Stevie Nicks of The Briefs playing tonight at Pub 340 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada with Raised by Wolves and the Riff Randalls. I mentioned Interscope. How did this whole Interscope thing come out? I understand, and there's a lot of understanding to do about The Briefs, is you were sending an email to a buddy saying, hey, we're doing a showcase gig at the Viper Room, and by mistake you CC'd it to a whole bunch of people, and everybody found out that you were auditioning for Interscope, and nobody would have found out had you not CC'd by mistake. What happened there? Was there a CC problem?
Oh, you know, I forgot about that. I can't really remember that whole story. Somebody did CC on accident, and that got leaked out. But I don't know. That whole Interscope thing was a few years ago now, and really, it was cool because they gave us a bunch of money to live off of for a few years, and then we parted ways. And
when they signed you guys, who did they compare you to, or who were you signed with at the same time? Like, was Annual Noise by the Trail of Dead? Were they signed at that time?
They were.
Like, so who are your contemporaries? And
I've never even heard them. I don't know. I don't listen to any of the crap they put out. I have no idea. I mean, I know what U2 sounds like, but...
Well, I guess what I was wondering is, you signed at that time, so did Trail of Dead. How many of the bands, I wonder, survive? Like, Trail of Dead are still going, kind of. They had their record delayed for a little while. I was just curious of any of the other bands that signed, which ones survived? Do you remember any other ones that were signing around the same time you were?
No, I don't think that they really like to let everybody know everything that's going on. I think that, you know, those labels sign a ton of bands, and maybe like, you know, 2 out of 10 will like actually do something with their career, you know, get their records released.
Stevie Nicks of the briefs, did you ever attend a Jane's Addiction gig at the Key Arena in Seattle?
I may have. I don't think it was Key Arena when Jane's Addiction was playing here.
But you remember them playing an early gig? Did you go to an early Jane's Addiction gig, perhaps? Stevie Nicks of the Briefs?
I went to see Jane's Addiction open for Love and Rockets in 1987 at the Paramount.
Uh-huh. Because...
That's an early one.
That is a very early one, Stevie Nicks. Now, at that time, you were playing in a rock and roll band, weren't you?
I've played in tons of rock bands.
At that time, what band were you playing in, Stevie Nicks?
I believe I was playing in Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies.
Yes, Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies, because I heard in the middle of the set, someone threw a demo on stage to Perry Farrell, and Perry Farrell picked it up and said something to the effect of, Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies, pretty crappy name, but I'll listen to it.
You know what? That sounds familiar. I think that was the singer of that band who did that.
Yeah,
I forgot all about that, too.
That's awesome. Did you ever hear back from Perry Farrell?
No, never.
That's a wild way of trying to get your music out, like people throwing music at you, like you and one of your early bands throwing a tape at Perry Farrell. Do people throw music at you guys at the Briefs? You know, like when you're playing tonight in Vancouver, do you want people to throw music at you? Have you got any interesting demos that way?
You know what? We get tons of demos. Oddly enough, nobody's throwing them on stage, but people show up with, cassettes and CDs and say, hey, this is my band, I'd like you to check it out, see if you like it, and, you know, maybe hoping to do a show together, or just they like our taste, whatever. I mean, we've gotten some really cool music that way.
Have you got any bands signed as a result of that? Like, any bands that you've really hyped? Like, didn't you guys really help that band, The Shocks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we tried to bring those guys over to the U.S., and they got denied at the border and sent back to Berlin. That's a great band. I mean, you know, we run across bands here and there that we just really love, and so, of course, we'll run around and, like, try to tell the world how great they are.
Stevie Nicks, you said you've played in lots of bands. Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies, they were on Tombstone Records, which is pretty cool. That's Dead Moon's record label. That's an amazing record label to start out on.
I mean, it was pressed on Tombstone, but the label is actually called Aroma Records, I think, out of Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
It was Tacoma Aroma.
But getting pressed on Tombstone is pretty unique because Fred Cole, the guy from Dead Moon and Tombstone Records, he has the same record press they used to press Louie Louie, right? The actual mastering thing.
That does sound right, yeah.
Like, yeah, I think his wife, Tootie, bought it for him for Christmas. It was the actual mastering lathe that they used to master the Kingsman's Louie Louie from the 1960s, and he got it as a present. So that means your record was mastered by the same machine that mastered Louie Louie, so it was a great way. I mean, you kind of laugh about, well, you maybe don't like the name, or maybe people don't like the, maybe you do like the name Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies, but I think they have a rich tradition there. That's really important.
Yeah, and he put us a really nice Christmas present. I wish I would get something like that.
Do you remember a band called the Color Twigs at all out of Seattle, Washington? The Color Twigs.
No.
Because in that band was that producer Gordon Raphael, who also played keyboards for Sky Cries Mary, and he's the dude that recorded The Strokes. Like, looking at the Seattle, it's interesting how all these people come and moving back and forth from Seattle. Do you come across a lot of ex-Seattleites or Tacomaites when you tour across the country that have moved to other areas that have started bands?
We saw Gordon in New York. I know Gordon. He's a great guy. It ends up being a small world with a lot of people in the, you know, whatever, bands, recording and stuff. People do move all over the place, but they kind of end up going to the same shows and those same types of people. So you run into a lot of the same folks that you knew over the years.
Stevie Nicks of the Briefs playing tonight at Pub 340. After Inspector Love and the Ride Me Babies, was it Green Apple Quickstep? Was that the next band that you were in?
Yeah, I believe so.
Now, what was it like in that band? Because I noticed on her actual resume, Sarah Michelle Gellar lists the video that she did for you guys called Kid. Did you really have Sarah Michelle Gellar in a Green Apple Quickstep video?
I wasn't in the band then. I got kicked out.
So you missed out on that?
Oh, yeah.
Why'd you get kicked out?
Oh, a variety of reasons.
That seems kind of mean because...
Bad behavior.
So, like, you help the band get big, and then you get kicked out, and they're having...
Yeah, that's how it goes, huh?
Because, like, weren't they doing Lollapalooza? I mean, it was the glory days of grunge. You were on Madonna's record label. Were you on Madonna's record label?
No.
But, okay, let's just say you were on Madonna's record. It was a good year. And then getting kicked out, that's mean, isn't it?
I don't know. I never liked that band anyways, honestly. I didn't really mind getting kicked out too badly.
But you missed Lollapalooza, probably.
I don't know. I don't know if they did play Lollapalooza.
I think they did some Lollapalooza warm-up gigs, didn't they?
They might have done a warm-up gig or two, yeah.
And you were Stevie Nicks of the Briefs playing tonight in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada at Pub 340. You've done a lot of great gigs, though, as the Briefs, playing with the Addicts. Are the Addicts the longest-running punk band ever? That's what I heard.
With original lineup? I don't know. I have no idea, actually, if they're the longest. They're one of the best long-running punk bands. Because, you know, a lot of those bands get back together and they kind of suck, but Addicts just are completely great. I think that there might be some other that are longer. I think the Vibrators were around before the Addicts. And
what are
the original members.
What are the Vibrators like to play with?
They're pretty cool. Knox is great. I really like him. And I think he's pushing 65, and he's still... comes over to the U.S. and does a shitty band tour, and they play their hearts out, and I've seen some great Vibrator shows in the last few years.
He's 65 years old, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Is he older than Waddy from The Exploited? Could he be the oldest punker ever, really?
Yeah, he could be.
How about the Damned? Are they the funnest and the roughest guys to tour with?
Roughest?
Because what I mean by that is they really prank you, don't they? Didn't they prank you guys with, like, fish heads, pies, you know, firecrackers? They didn't hold back, did they?
They did all kinds of crap. There was dead fish and the kick drum, so we pulled out of the trailer the next day and it's rotting. They poured gasoline on us and tried to set us on fire, pies, fireworks. Yeah, every day was an adventure with those guys.
Was it always like that in The Damned, or are they lightening up a bit more now? Was it always fun, or are they like, Briefs, this is the way punk rock's supposed to be, or are they just having fun now in their golden age?
Well, I think that they liked us, and so that kind of opened the door. I think it was sort of friendly pranks. But we got some stories from those guys, like back in the early days when they do some really mean stuff. We hear stories about The Damned riding in the back of some limo with Elvis Costello, and Elvis would pass out, and he'd fill his mouth full of cigarette butts and old food, and they had some pretty bad stories. Peeing on people, you know. But
so they treated you quite nicely then? They loved the Briefs then?
I guess so. I really like those guys, though.
So is that the ultimate, you know, having The Damned prank you, meeting Dee Dee Ramone? Didn't Dee Dee Ramone come to one of your gigs? Did you get a chance to speak to him at all?
He came to one of our shows in Los Angeles, yeah. That was shortly before he died, and it seemed pretty damn neat at the time to have Dee Dee at our show, because apparently he doesn't go out too often, or didn't go out too often.
I don't want to make you pick any favorites at all, Stevie Nicks of the Briefs, but what was your favorite gig that you've done with kind of like old school punk bands? Like, you know, there's the Addicts, there's the Damned, the Rosillos. Is the Rosillos, was that the best? Were they the best one that you've done so far? I mean, this perform, well, not just you, the Briefs, but the one that you've enjoyed the most playing with? And also performance-wise, how were the Rosillos? Were they pretty hot?
No. I mean, I love the Rosillos, and it seemed like the coolest thing in the world for them to come over we got to play with them, but honestly, they weren't really on fire when they played. And I hate to say it because I love the Rosillos records. And they were kind of shy, you know, they didn't really talk to us much. It was still cool touring with them, though. Probably my favorite would be with the Damned, for sure, because towards the end of the tour, since the Damned weren't playing that song, Jet Boy, Jet Girl, we ended up playing it, and Captain Sensible came out on stage and sang it with us. So for like the last three shows of the tour, he sang with us on stage, and that was, you know, a pretty high point in my career.
How about tonight in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Aside from being joined by a Canadian Stevie Kicks on bass, well, your new bassist of the Briefs here, Stevie Nicks, is anybody going to be joining you? Do you have any songs for audience participation for people joining you? Do you do any covers, Canadian covers?
Oh, I wish we had some Canadian covers. I know we all like the Pointed Sticks a lot. We were working on a Teenage Head song. Any of our songs, if people know the words, they're more than welcome to hop up and sing. We sing the whole song. We don't have to. It's actually a lot of fun sometimes when we get guest singers.
Stevie Nicks of the Briefs playing tonight in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Shoplifting at Macy's. Did you ever meet Winona Ryder? Or have you ever met Winona Ryder?
Actually, the song has nothing at all to do with Winona Ryder.
No! Really? Okay, well, we'll completely skip that then. What has it got something to do with? Your psychic abilities, was it written before Winona Ryder?
No, it was written after Winona Ryder, but I wrote it sort of autobiographical, and I wasn't thinking of Winona Ryder at all. That's just sort of what people have put together, is that it's about her, but really it wasn't.
Stevie Nicks, you're playing tonight at Pub 340, but you guys have done all sorts of different gigs. What are some of the different gigs that you guys have done in the Briefs? Like, weren't you booked into, like, an 80s night in Eugene, Oregon? Like, what's it like playing an 80s night? Is that kind of an insult, having to play an 80s night?
Any gig in Eugene is a little bit of an insult.
Ba-boom!
80s night's probably the coolest thing going on in Eugene. So that's that. It's somewhere to play on the way to California.
How about the Punk Police, Stevie Nicks of the Briefs? Have you encountered the Punk Police at all?
Are you referring to Maximum Rock and Roll, or...?
Kind of, in the way that, like, people say, quote, the Briefs should only sing about dead girlfriends, VD, and shoes. I don't need to hear them to pretend to be interested in politics.
Oh. I really haven't heard much of that. I think, I don't know. I don't think that the band decided to go into some direction of writing political-themed songs. It's just kind of hard to ignore, you know, whatever's going on in the world. And whatever we write about, it's definitely kept tongue-in-cheek. We're not smart enough to do anything else.
Winding up here with Stevie Nicks of the Briefs, playing tonight in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, with the Riff Randalls and Raised by Wolves.
Looking forward to seeing.
Yes.
Because that's the guy from the Pirates, right?
Yes, it is. Billy Bones from the Pirates and the Riff Randalls from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
We played with the Pirates in Seattle probably 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's cool. You'll be able to relink up with them at Pub 340 tonight in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And looking at pictures of you guys at thebriefs.com, I know there's no pictures of 8-tracks, which kind of makes me angry. I saw you wearing a whole bunch of great footwear. Are you guys sponsored by footwear companies? Because you're wearing some really cool shoes. What sort of stuff are you sponsored by?
Which is one shoe company we're sponsored by, which is kind of neat because, as anyone knows, shoes are expensive. It's the Dwayne Peters skateboard shoes. We're friends with Dwayne, and Vision shoes. And we did some photo wearing Vision shoes, and now anytime we need shoes, we call up Vision and ask them to send us the shoes.
Can they customize them for you? How expensive would it be to sell a brief shoe? Have you thought about that?
No, I'm not really interested in selling brief anyways, but I just like getting free shoes.
How about a brief skateboard? You do have those, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And where can people get those? Are those mail order only? Where are they available?
Actually, we may have some at the show tonight, but those are a favorite of mine because I designed them. And it's made out of a company out of Cleveland called Factory 13. It's all like handmade, hand-painted, hand-silk screen, like the best U.S. maple wood, and it's 9 3/4 inches wide, 32 1/2 inches long, concave, custom-made board.
And Stevie Nicks of the Briefs, lastly here, I'm going to end with a little set here that you guys played in 2001 on WFMU Radio, Terror T's Cherry Blossom Clinic. Do you remember playing that at all?
Oh, was that the New Jersey station?
Yes, WFMU.org.
Oh, yeah, those guys are great. really like them. I don't remember much of the show. I think we played a couple songs off of singles that were about to be released.
I think it might have been around the time of your Damned tour, 2001, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But I'm going to end the interview right now with The Village People. The Village People's best song ever, Food Fight. What can you tell the people, Stevie Nicks of The Briefs, about the punk Village People?
That's the record cover where they look all kind of like new romantic. You know what? Somebody played us that song, Food Fight, and said, listen to this. It sounds just like Lance Romance from The Briefs singing. Lance is our old bass player. And it does. It totally sounds like him singing. And it's pretty cool. Not many people know about the new romantic Village People.
So we're going to play the Village People, then we're going to play a little live set of The Briefs from Tara T's amazing Cherry Blossom Clinic from December 14th, 2001. And then, tonight, you can head down to Pub 340 to check out The Briefs from Seattle, Washington, Raised by Wolves and the Riff Randalls. Well, anything else you want to add to the people there at all?
Can I ask you one question, Edouard?
Yes.
Where did you guys get the outfits you wore on New Year's Eve in Seattle when you played with Jello Biafra and the Melvins and the Makers?
What particular outfits are you looking for?
The ones that all three of you ended up wearing at the end of the night. Or the three of you were wearing them, I think.
Well,
it looked kind of Planet of the Apes.
It's going to kind of make you feel, and I think the listeners feel, a bit, well, I don't know. Well, let me just, I'll shoot out with it. It was from my mom's closet. I was cleaning up, and I found that years ago at the bottom of her closet. I guess she had bought it once in the 1960s. It was the most conservative thing in the entire shop. She wore it, discarded it, and then I found it years later and then got some other ones custom made for my buddies there. So that's how it all came together.
That was excellent. Very excellent show. I really enjoyed that. That was a good New Year for me.
Well, thank you. Well, remember, what you do on New Year's Eve, you do all year round. That's the saying, which is very scary. So I guess you saw a bit of Canada, and now you're in Canada beginning the new year with your brand new bassist, Stevie Kicks. Well, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all? Why should people care about The Briefs at all? Why should people care about The Briefs, Stevie Nicks?
For Canadians, because we try so hard to come play Canada, and sometimes we don't get it, but we still keep coming back. And we'll put on a fun show. If you come to our show, we'll entertain you, guaranteed.
Well,
that's what we do.
Thanks very much, Stevie Nicks of The Briefs. Keep on rocking in the free world. And here's your favorite band, The Village People, with Food Fight and Doot Doot A Loot Doo.
Doot Doo.
can I say? Okay, here's live music from The Briefs. Terry T, this is Terry Bloss Clinic. Heard every Friday afternoon from 3 to 6. This is the freeform station of the nation, WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope. WFMU, all the way from Seattle. Punk rock band, The Briefs!
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry. It's Benny! To do. Benny's got a cigarette, he don't know what to do. Benny's got a cigarette, he don't know what to do. Benny's got a cigarette, he don't know what to do. Benny's got a cigarette, he don't know what to do. Benny's got a cigarette, he don't know what to do. Yeah, riding on the wall, and he's losing in the soul. Riding on the wall. Riding on the wall, and he's losing in the soul. Riding on the wall.
I'm gonna called Sylvia. WFM,
we'll be right back.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and an underwater human survey radio show. And you just heard The Briefs with Half Size Girl. And before that, a bit of a live set from Terror T's Cherry Blossom Clinic show, an amazing show that still runs to this day. And I mention to this day because that particular show was from December 14th, 2001, and that was a live set with The Briefs. So check out Terror T's show as much as you can on the web at WFMU.org. And before that, an interview with Steve Enix of The Briefs from Seattle, Washington, who are playing Pub 340 tonight with the Riff Randalls and Raised by Wolves. Now, to end the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, I thought I would play a 7-inch that I recently came across by AMQA. It's released on the Subcore Records label out of Seattle, Washington, not 910-025-98199 USA. I think it's from 1986. And I'm going to play pretty much all side B, might even get to side A. Side B is called Side Blue. Side A is called Side Stiff. The songs are going to be Family Reunion Massacre, Cats Are Neat, and Bowling Balls in My Back Seat. It's AMQA, Seattle, Washington, Subcore Records, 1986.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Shut my mama in the head. Now that fucking bitch is dead. Got my daddy for the killer. Now I act like I'm a killer. Shut my grandma between the eyes. Then I take the bitch right where she lies. Got my grandma fighting kids. Hit his head, he was afraid.
Sleep on your feet. Catch cool when they heat off your blade. Destiny, destiny, down, 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 down. Destiny, destiny, down, 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 down. Destiny, destiny, down, 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 down. Destiny, destiny, down, 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 down.
Hey, Luke, what's happening?
Nothing! I'm so bored! Give me something to do!
What are you doing this weekend?
Nothing!
I'm going to see Das Pussyhound on Saturday at the...
Who are they?
Listen up.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That is some sweet, sweet rock and roll. Who else is playing?
The Nasty On.
No fooling. Man, that sounds like more fun than drinking bleach. Who else is playing?
A band called Starantula.
Starantula? Who are they?
I don't know, but they're from Portland.
Portland? That's my favorite city.
So get up your ass and come with us to the Pig Pub, Saturday, February 12th, to see Das Pussyhound, The Nasty On, and Starantula.